Okay, so it is March 29th, 2011. I am Jacqueline Colagnese, recording this interview for Robin Nagel's oral history class, and I'm here with
Edwin Nieves.
Edwin Nieves, and we are completing an oral history. It is about 1:10 p.m., and we are at the Manhattan 2 garage. So I guess to start, I just want to find out more about your background and where did you grow up? And
well, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. I was born in Puerto Rico in Bayamón, and I came to, my parents brought me here when I was like 3 months old, so I really don't know too much of Puerto Rico, so I'm a New York Rican, I guess.
What year was that when you came to New York?
I was born in May 27, 55, so I came in 55, probably around July or August.
And then how long did you live here for in Brooklyn?
I lived in Greenpoint for like around 35 years, and then I moved upstate to Monroe, New York, okay, where I live in now.
So what led you, what made you decide to take the sanitation exam?
Well, I was 19 years old, and the test was given at the Brooklyn Navy Yard in Greenpoint. And one of my friends was taking, you know, picked up applications, and I just happened to fill one out and give it in, and the day to take the test, he called me and got me out of bed to go take the physical, and I was, and here I am now.
So when was your start date?
My start date was July 29th in 1985. I took the test in 74, but they froze the list for like 9 years because of the budget, you know, no money. So I waited 11 years to get called.
Oh, wow. What did you do in between?
Well, I like to work outdoors, so I used to be driving trucks outside, you know, outdoors. I don't like to work indoors.
Yeah.
So this was a perfect job for me.
Definitely. So how is this job kind of compared to working on the trucks before you started in sanitation?
Well, this job is very good. I like it because when you're on a route, you get to meet people. You get to see kids growing up from, you know, birth, you know, because I've been on the route like 25 years. So you get to see little kids growing up. The ones that keep running to the window when they hear the trucks, they always like to hear the noise of the white trucks, you know. So, you know, meeting the people on a route is one of the good things about the job.
Do you have anyone in particular that kind of stands out that you
Yes, because we pick up Sarah and Jessica's Parker's garbage. So when James was born, he would always run to the window. So we've seen him from like, I guess, 2 months old. Since once he was able to walk, once he heard the truck, he would run to the window and he'd be there waving. And Sarah would come wave. So, you know, stuff like that. It's fun. And who else did we see? You know, Matthew Modine. He lives on a route. And they're all great people, you know. You get to talk to them personally. It's good.
That's good. So did you start in this area? Or?
No, I started. My first garage was in Harlem. I stood there maybe 3 months. Then I transferred to Bedford-Stuyvesant because it was closer to home. And I was there, Bedford-Stuyvesant, around 12 years. And I've been here like the rest, 13 years.
So which year do you know did you transfer from Bedford-Stuyvesant to here?
I guess it had to be around 92, 93.
What would you say are kind of the main differences between neighborhoods and working in different neighborhoods?
Well, for one, Bedford-Stuyvesant was a little more dangerous. There was a lot more drugs there, so you really had to be careful around what you pick up. But the people in the neighborhood was really nice. And in Manhattan, it's you got more traffic, so you got to be careful when you come out of the truck, so you know you don't get hit by a cab or anything. But the work is about it's the same, mm-hmm. You know. It's just the neighborhood's different.
So in terms of the cars and the danger, I mean, have you ever come across any close calls or?
One time, what was it? It wasn't more of a car. It was just that when I stepped out of the truck, I put my foot in a hole, like a little, it was a little hole in the street. So good thing I had boots on, because I would have sprained my ankle pretty bad. But stuff like that, you're supposed to look before you leap, like they say. But that's about it, really. I try to be very careful.
Mm-hmm. So you were in the village, you've been in the village now for how many years?
I would say around 13 years now.
How long were you working with Angelo in the village?
I was with Angelo around 7 years. So, you know, through Angelo I got to meet a lot of people, because mm-hmm. he was on around 25 years, so he knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a typical Italian, gets up to everybody, kisses everybody, so I became the kissing bandit with him, you know. Kissing old ladies, babies. You name it, we kissed it. It was fun working with him.
Yeah, so how was, do you miss working with Angelo?
Yes, you know, because when you work with somebody that long, you know, 7 years ain't really that long, but mm-hmm. it is long with one partner. You get to know everybody's his habits, mm-hmm. he knows my habits. I know when he had a bad night, he knows when I have a bad night without saying a word.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like marriage, I guess, you know. Marriage, I guess, is harder.
So, what is it like working with, you know, new partners?
My new partner is Mark Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might have been one of the youngest kids to come on a job, because when he started working here, he wasn't even allowed to drive the truck to Jersey, because that's interstate. So you had to be, mm-hmm. I think, 18 or 19, and he wasn't even that yet.
Wow.
So I went from Angelo, who was, you know, he's around 58, to somebody that's like, Murphy's around 26 now. So it's, you know, we learned a lot from Angelo,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully I teach Murphy a few things.
Kind of changing
that. Yes.
What do you talk about on the route when you're out? Just.
Where we're going to start the route.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, you know, it's changes. It's hard. That's a hard question.
Yeah.
You know, talk about sports. You know, I've been to sports. He likes sports. So we talk about sports, how your weekend was, what did you eat for dinner? Stuff like that.
Yeah. So what's it kind of like to do this every day? Could you describe a typical day or...
Oh, a typical day, say, all right, like today, for instance, roll call is 6 o'clock. You get your route. And then by 6:15, you're usually at your route. So you start, your baskets is the first thing, usually on a route. So.
Did you describe baskets?
It's the corner baskets on the green cans that are on each corner. So basically, on your route, you hit every basket that's on your route. So usually once you turn into the block, that's the first thing you hit. And you try to work your way. We try to go where people don't live when it's that early, because you don't want to wake them up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you do some like factory areas sometimes. You know, you work your way where people don't really live that much, because you don't want to wake them up at 6 in the morning. But basically you do the route the same way, because people set their clocks by you.
Mm.
So that, you know, they'll be telling you, oh, you're late today. Yeah. So you try to do it the same way every time, basically, so they know, you don't miss them.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a kind of a favorite, like a best or worst day on the job?
My best day on a job is Friday, and my longest day is Saturday. Monday is pretty heavy. Monday, the short distance, but more weight. Usually the first two pickups, the first pickup of the week is the heaviest, mm-hmm. which is Monday and Tuesday, because we do each route 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So the first two pickups of the week are mm-hmm. usually the heaviest, and are usually the longest. You get extra work, like on a Saturday and a Friday.
So when it's the heaviest, I mean, this is a really physical job?
Yes. It's Monday, we used to be doing like 13, 14 tons of garbage a day. Now, your typical day is around now, it's, for some reason, it's got lighter. I don't know if it's the people moving out of Manhattan and not coming back, but now your typical day is around 11 and a half tons, 12 tons.
So how is that, like, on, like, you, like, the physical toll, like, on your health, or feel like?
Well, I don't have to join a gym because I do pretty good. And keeps you in shape because you're always moving. The worst time to work outdoors is when, for me, it's when it's raining. But it keeps you in shape, you know. One guy drives, one guy loads, and when there's a lot of bags there, the driver comes out, and you work together. So usually who's ever the closest to the steering wheel will jump in the truck and move it to the next stop. That's a good partner. So you try to do the same amount each. But with my partner, Murphy, he's so much younger. By the time I get back to the back of the truck, there's no garbage left. So.
How does the job change when it's snowing out?
Okay, when it's snowing out, it's, I tell you the truth, when it's snowing, it's easier than doing collection because you're inside the truck and they give you a route. And basically, Manhattan, our garage, West Street is the main thing. You do the avenues, those are called primaries. West Street is the main thing, Broadway, all the avenues you try to hit first. And then the secondaries are like the side streets. So that's typically your snow route, you know. And you try to do by the bus stops, hospitals, fire department. You got, you know, with the spreaders, you try to hit them areas, you know, pretty fit. One of the first times, you know, going out.
So what's the spreader?
The spreader is the salt spreader.
Okay.
It's the big orange truck that has a plow and you should just lay down salt. And then usually the plow, the big sanitation trucks with the plow, and usually they just push to the right when you start it. So the spreader, though, basically when it's less than 2 or 3 inches on the ground, because you can't plow until it's like 3 or 4 inches on the ground. So the spreaders are the first things to go out when it snows.
So they go out just after, right after it starts snowing?
No, sometimes when they know it's going to snow, you got standby spots. So you go on standby. Like one truck will be on Canal and West Street, one truck will be on West and Bloomfield. One will be up on 14. They pre-position, you know, to hit the route. So they like spread them out through the district.
Okay. And then this past winter, I know that Robin said you worked many days in a row after
this
the
past,
big storm.
This past winter, it's the most I worked straight days without a day off, which was 49 days straight without a day off.
Oh, wow.
My first day off, I was sick as a dog. Couldn't get out. But 26 years, I'm almost on a job 26 years, that's the most.
That's the most.
It takes, it's, you know, it's good, the money's good, but it takes its toll. And I'm very lucky that my parents live in Greenpoint because I live upstate. I would never make it home. So I stay at their house a few times during the week, which makes it easier.
So what are you kind of doing when you're working 49 days in a row with the snow?
Well, the first thing is you're plowing. And I basically like to go on the spreader because this way I know my route will be cleaned. But, you know, but I usually go on a spreader. And that's after the spreader and you're plowing for the next few days, you know, until they open up the street. They won't pick up they won't pick up any garbage or recycle, so that's put on hold. So usually after a big snowstorm, for the first week you're just really pushing to the right, and then when it gets warm enough, you're pushing the snow back into the street so that the cars could chew it up, and that's how you get rid of the snow. And then after that, it's when the rough part starts, when you got to start looking for the garbage between the cars and the snow piles. That's the hardest part of the job.
Mm-hmm. And why would you say that part is kind of the hardest?
Because you're never on solid ground. You're mm-hmm. on between cars, you're on between snowbanks, and the cars don't move over here. So you're basically working between cars and snow. And it's a lot of work there because the garbage hasn't been picked up in over a week or so. So one block, you can load out a truck in one block. So it's hard after the snow.
Definitely. So would you take, when you load up a truck after one block, do you have to bring it back to the garage every time?
Usually when it snows, you're usually working 12-hour days. So mm-hmm. It'll take you sometimes that long just to fill up the truck because you're moving very slow because of the snow, trying to get in between cars. Some blocks you might not even be able to get down because the cars are sticking out. But you usually load up the truck, and it usually takes you the full day, full 12 hours.
Oh, wow. So was that like 49 days of 12-hour shifts?
Some were 12. One was like maybe 14, 10-hour shifts. The beginning, for the first few days, it's usually 12-hour shifts. And then it dwindles down to like 10. The less snow on the ground, the more you can do, the less time you need to be working. So it takes its toll. It was a lot. It was the roughest winter I had so far.
So even compared to past storms, like?
Yeah, past storm, I think it was 96 was pretty heavy too, because they just kept coming on a weekend. So you never really got a break. But this was the worst.
Yeah. And then there was also kind of the media fallout with the sanitation slowdown allegations.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. In Manhattan, we never even heard of it. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has their opinion. But between me and you, there was no slowdown. And they were saying it because the supervisors were getting laid off. But you go out there and you work, you know. I know if I was working, I would want my block cleared because, you know, say, God forbid, there's a fire. Mm-hmm. Fire truck's got to get through there, ambulance. So if there was a slowdown, I didn't see it, not in mm-hmm. Manhattan. And it was very stupid if there was, you know, safety reasons.
Mm-hmm. What about other kind of major events that were in Manhattan, like maybe like 9/11, or how was working after that?
9/11 was rough because I was able to see the towers going down, and then to see all the people walking down West Street coming, they were stopping in the garage and with all the soot and just to clear their face, and a lot of things went through this garage. They had, you know, we were gassing up ambulance from Virginia. It was a rough time. Sad. And I happened to get to go down there the next day, the day after, because we were on the front end loaded, and it looked like something out of a movie. You know, it was unreal.
Would you say that's the hardest thing you ever had to deal with, or how does it compare to kind of?
That was, yes, that was the hardest because one of our workers' brothers, a fireman, and I was down Canal Street. He came down there looking for his brother because he seen the fire truck right next to where was the Twin Towers, and his brother's passed away. He was in the towers, so that was, you know, seeing him looking for his brother, that was pretty hard. And another thing too, which was very stupid, on a route right across from St. Vincent's, some lady threw a newborn in the garbage can. And for some reason, somehow they found out and they had to bring the truck to the garage floor, dump it, trying to look for the infant, and they found it. That was horrible. Looked like a little stuffed animal. I don't know. Right across from St. Vincent's. And all they had to do was leave it there. That was hard.
When was that?
That had to be around, it's hard to say. I think it was around 7 or 8 years ago. It was a while. I don't even remember. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was hard.